Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the Misericordia University Alumni Podcast. I am your host, Class of 2017 and 2019 alumnus, Mike Gambita. Today on the show, we are featuring a postcard profile. This 2019 alumna is making a salty situation a sweet one with one of her new adventures. Ladies and gentlemen, an alumni of Misericordia, please welcome Allie Stephanidis to the show. Allie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here with you.
We're so happy to have you on the show as well. We're just going to jump right into today's questions for today. Allie, what have you been up to since you graduated from Misericordia?
So I graduated last May with an early childhood special education degree. Right after that, I went into substitute teaching. I went to all different districts around. I'm actually located in 44th, so really close to Misericordia. And it was a very positive learning experience for both me and the students. I love teaching and working with the kids. Actually, right before the pandemic hit, I was in a long-term substitute teaching position for fifth grade. And it really was awful that that happened while I was in that teaching class, because it was a great experience. And while I was trying to juggle the day-to-day position, I also had the virus on top of it all. So it was so uncertain and it was insane, but we got through it, unfortunately, right until school closed on March 13th. So
yeah, I find it really interesting and challenging at the same time with, you know, just some of our young alum that are coming out, whether it's, you know, 1 year after they graduate or just recently this past May. You know, you guys are basically being thrown into the fire of trying to find opportunities and stuff. So it was nice that you kind of secured somewhat of a position, but also it was a difficult challenge for you to overcome those things. So at least it's good to hear that, you know, there's somewhat of a positive exchange of having a great experience, but it gets cut through that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no other way to learn than the hard way. So have it all. So I was there. We were trying to, all the news was going around about what was going to happen. We didn't know if we were staying open, closed, because we heard other schools were closing, but I just tried to keep the students calm. We kept going throughout our busy day and we got through it, but I miss them. We never got to say goodbye, but I know that everyone's home and safe. So we'll see what the next school year brings. I'm not sure where I'll be at, or I'm still planning on subbing and see where I end up, but I do have other things in the works to continue on that I know we'll be talking about in a little bit. So we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. It's, you know, one of the great reasons why we have you on the show today. But before we kind of get into that, Allie, I wanted to ask, because I feel like I don't ask enough to our guests during the show, but what made you want to get into teaching? Was it inspired by family members? Was it, you know, a great role model? Like, what made you want to go to Misericordia for education, but specifically elementary childhood education and special education?
It was something that I always loved when I was younger. I would always play school with my sister. And I know everyone always says that because it's like a little play and you do workbooks and worksheets and you be all cool because you're the teacher. But it always stuck with me and nothing ever crossed my mind. Even when I started school, I thought maybe other things would come to mind and I would get inspired by other occupations to try, but teaching always stuck with me. And then I loved going out into the field. Misericordia's program is great because you get to go into different classrooms every semester. So I love that. I was at different schools, different grades, and I've loved it ever since. So even though, like I said, right now with the pandemic, it's hard not being with the students. I really miss them and I'm always thinking of them. So I hope everyone's doing well and hopefully we'll get back to our normal school year soon, but I'm not sure when that will happen, but we can always be positive and pray and who knows. But I love teaching and it's just something that's always been in my heart. I'm very passionate about it.
It almost is funny when you say you do lesson plans for fun and then you actually turn into the adult world and it's like, man, I have to do lesson plans now. So
I know, it's just like one way or another. I grew up with it and it just happened to be my future. So it's always been in my heart.
That's absolutely amazing. But, you know, especially during this time too, we always look to our teachers because it's certainly one of those situations where we have to rely on individuals that are, you know, somewhat of a essential worker per se, as far as, you know, making sure our children or, you know, students, because, you know, I think the both of us aren't into any, you know, adult life with children yet. But just saying, like, you know, always dependent upon those people that make a great impact with our future children or current children's lives is being a teacher. So I think it's amazing that you take that route and you're, you know, keeping that optimism there itself.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. They really do become your own kids. I mean, you're with them all day long, every day. So I get so attached to the kids, even the students that I tutor on the side and I babysit and I hang out with them. Whenever I'm not with them, I miss them because I'm so used to being with them. And that's the same way how I feel with my students in the class as well. It's just, you share a bond with them and you teach them and they're like your own kids. So it really is very special to me.
I'm just trying to think, because we've done this podcast for so long, I don't believe I've had any current employed education majors on this podcast. But what I you kind of touched briefly upon it, like, what's the biggest not the learning moment, but like the biggest achievement that puts a smile on your face in your field of the education field?
What I love most is teaching my students in that moment where the light bulb goes off and it clicks with them and they get what they're learning. So many students struggle, and I love working with them one-on-one just to break it down for them and show them different ways that they can learn to do multiplication or writing letters, different things like that, that the light bulb goes off and instantly they learn what they're doing. I know, like, even when I was younger in school, it takes a few times to learn a certain thing, but if you go a different way around it, you can really show them what they can do in order to succeed. So that's what I'm all about, is my students succeeding. It's all about them and watching them grow and learn and showing them different ways how they can learn while they are in school with different subjects. I know a lot of students struggle in math or struggle in science. So just helping them get through their weakest point is what my biggest joy is, because I love the smiles on their face that, oh, it clicked, I got it. So they're so happy and I'm so happy for them. So, you know, you're doing something right.
That's really cool. Now, I think on top of, you know, your students, I think the one thing that they should realize by now, or something we'll move on to today, is how great Miss Allie makes these sweet treats that we're going to talk about today. So you took on a new chapter, per se, almost a side hustle, we call it, but you made that side hustle a little bit bigger recently. So I'm just going to let you take the wheel as far as what that next big chapter / big side hustle you got going on right now.
Yes, absolutely. So I recently just opened up the Posh Pretzel on August 1st. It was my grand opening, because everything was so uncertain with teaching and I'm not sure what the school year will bring. I thought it would be the perfect opportunity to open up the small store that I've been doing this for many years. So I learned how to make chocolate dipped pretzel rods for my party favors at my Sweet 16. And then ever since then, it's just been something on the side that I really enjoyed. It would be so fun doing them with my mom and sister and my cousins, and my family members would always be calling me to do this for them or that for them, like birthdays and holidays and things like that. And it was always so fun to bring them for special occasions. So although small businesses are closing during the pandemic, I just really didn't want the virus to stop me from doing what I love to do. So I thought, why not? This is the perfect opportunity. The store is right in my hometown. So I just went out with it and it was a huge success. I had my opening on Saturday, like I said, and now I'm back in the store to start working all day to fill up the shelves because I sold out. So,
oh my goodness. Congratulations. Oh,
thank you.
You didn't tell me that before we started. So that's very cool. You brought it on the podcast. That's,
yeah, thank you.
Wow, so happy. But specifically, I mean, you said that you started making these pretzels, or I should say these, is it desserts is the right way to categorize these?
Different things. People say treats, goodies, chocolate dips. You know, whatever you go by is okay with me, because I do all different things. So,
but let's go with treats, because that sounds a little bit more general. But so you started, you said, making these treats by your Sweet 16. Is that correct?
Yes, we wanted to come up with a unique flavor, and we were like, why don't we try pretzel rods? So I did two pretzels in a bag out of receipt for my Sweet 16, and I actually a picture came up on my Time Hop for my birthday in June, and when I saw the picture of the favor, I was just like, wow, I can't believe how much the product has grown since then. It looked totally different. So it really warmed my heart where I am today and what I saw from years ago. So
yeah, that's certainly one of those things. Now, Allie, I just like a quick side topic for me. So back in high school, I actually opened up an ice cream stand with my family. So
with
some of the things of opening a business, I'm sure there was a lot of regulations that you had to go through and a lot of, I don't want to say testing, but a lot of tests that you had to go through as far as making sure the store is ready to be opened up safely and on top of the CDC guidelines for the coronavirus. Like we're certainly in this situation, but talk to me about some of the things of opening a business. Like I'm sure some people just think, oh, let's just open a business like I did stupidly back when I was in high school. But, you know, kind of talk to me some of the experiences and maybe some of the challenges that you faced as far as the, I don't want to say the challenges of opening a business, but some of the takes and the actions you had to do, like some of the experiences.
Yeah, so definitely the first thing I would say is it's all learning experience. As I went along, we were always learning something new. My family was my biggest supporters in it all. I am the owner of the Posh Pretzel, but they are my side gig. They're always here helping me. And for my grand opening, it was so nice to have everyone here to see everyone, and they were always a helping hand. I learned how to do everything as we go, like I said. So there was always different rules and regulations, like you mentioned, and then like you also said, on top of it all, having to worry about social distancing, and we had to limit the amount of number of people in the store at the same time. So there also was a line outside all day, so it was pretty nuts. But with my team, we got it done and everything worked out. There was no problems at all, so it was a successful day.
Now you are called the Posh Pretzel. What are some things, I mean, I'm sure you make more than just pretzels, but kind of talk to me, like give me your business spiel about some of the things you make at your business.
So on my normal menu, usually it's pretzel rods and Oreos. And then I also do party towers that include pretzels, popcorn, chips, and Oreos. But then a little side secret that I wanted to bring to the store for my customers was that I added in new products so that when they were here, they could shop and see other things that I have to offer. So I started doing Rice Krispie treats, Nutter Butter cookies dipped in peanut butter. I did marshmallows and peanut butter crackers dipped in chocolate. They taste just like a tag-along cookie, Girl Scout. So those are to die for. Every time I try something new, it's just always my favorite because it's so good. It's so hard to have a favorite. Everyone says, what's your favorite? And I can't pick.
Yeah, I almost was going to ask that, but I think my stomach has given me an opinion as far as what I like, but it's certainly, you know, you're making me hungry during this podcast, but
yeah, it's hard to work with too, but of course it's chocolate, so we love it.
Yeah, right. But, you know, you certainly want to keep it in a cool area so it doesn't melt
in
your hands. Of course. At all, so.
So I'm hoping that as I go on with the store, I'm always bringing new products because I want to keep it exciting and fun. So I'm always up to doing different things. So I always plan on bringing more items in the store.
Cool. Now, I guess it kind of, you said you opened up, I believe, in 44. Is that correct?
Yes. It's about a block away from my house.
Oh, okay.
So it's very close. I actually had a huge chocolate delivery this morning. The guy called me that he was on his way, so I just changed and came right over. So it's nice that we're so close.
And then you got ready for a podcast. So
yes, everything's always happening at once, but I'm ready, so we're good.
Right. So you did sell out, which is absolutely amazing. But on top of that, you actually donated a percentage of your sales from the grand opening to Candy's Place, which is a local nonprofit cancer wellness center.
I wanted to keep it in 44 because they're also in 44 as well. And they're a nonprofit organization. I know they do a lot of wonderful things for the community. So when I was trying to think of different places to donate a percentage to, I thought they would be the perfect fit. So I have not met with them yet, but I have talked to them on the phone. And after the opening, I was going to decide, we haven't come to final numbers yet, but I will be going to them in about a week or two. So I'm very pleased to do that and help them out.
Could have a nice big check with the amount that you give, and then we can do a photo op for that. So
yeah, absolutely. I would love that.
Great. Now, I think looking at you know, some of the things, I guess, let's kind of expand a little bit on your business. Like, originally, I think you were kind of doing it as just like side gigs, but now it's a serious thing. What are some options that individuals can do? I know it's almost like a selling point, but like, can they call in and make custom orders? Can they just buy whatever, you know, you pre-make? Like, what are some options that individuals can do as far as doing business with you?
So before opening up the store, I was always custom orders only. So my phone is always ringing off the hook, as well as instant messenger on Instagram and Facebook. People are always ordering for weddings and bridal showers. Graduations is always a big thing in the summer, so I'm still working on those a little bit. But also Christmas, Thanksgiving, those are two huge holidays and I'm very busy. So like I said, everything is always custom orders. And although I opened up the store, I will still be doing custom orders. I just wanted to offer a little bit more, take the next step so that people can come in and shop. Right now for the summer, I am limited hours, but once it gets closer to the holiday, I will be opening up more. So I'm doing a little bit of both, but still always doing my special orders. So I am telling customers that I'm always available by phone for special orders.
Now, I think it's really cool to kind of touch briefly before we kind of go into, you know, kind of the almost the superhero like actions of opening a business during this pandemic. But, you know, we always hear all the time, you know, support local, support small businesses. Kind of give me your pitch or your kind of your presentation on why it's important to support small businesses. And if you want to expand on other businesses, you can. But speaking for yourself, like, why support a small business?
Especially during times like this, everything is so uncertain. I know a lot of people are closing their doors and it's so sad, but I'm lucky enough to open them during this time. And I think it's really getting a big push now that you should support local and small businesses because they bring so much to the community and you really want to support them so that they stay open and available. So I know you could still go to chain restaurants and different places like that, that is nationwide, but the ones that are in your community always mean the most because, you know, when people come and support you and they buy things from you, that really makes the owner very happy. And it really puts a smile on my face. Everyone that came out to support me this weekend, I was just overwhelmed. There were so many visitors and it just made me so happy. So I really hope that it continues to be a success.
Do you happen to have your students ever, did you have your students come on opening weekend? Like, were they very excited
to
see you?
Yeah, I did have a few come in the store and I was so happy to see them. We got pictures and they still are calling me Miss S and Miss Stephanitis, and it's just so sweet. I love seeing them. So some of them do live local, so they knew that I was opening up, and I got some pictures a few weeks ago of students outside of the window. I actually have them all papered up so nobody can see inside during the process, but I got a picture of two students and they were big smiles with thumbs up, and it just warmed my heart. So it was very sweet.
I think that's awesome because I think, you know, the students would rather have you as a substitute teacher, and then hopefully you'd bring some treats when you sub in for class.
Oh, yeah. So they've had samples before. And that's to them, awesome. That's like the biggest prize ever. So whatever works, they're on their best behavior. I'll bring them a treat.
Oh, goodness. I remember when, you know, I hate to say it, when I was in elementary school, it felt like it was, you know, years ago, but it was not that long ago. But I always remember when, you know, you'd be good behaving students that you would celebrate with either a pajama party or a pizza party. But I don't think nothing beats sweet treats from Miss S at all either. So,
oh my gosh. Yeah, they're lucky. They're getting good things.
Now, I think it's kind of a more of a what do you see yourself in the next 10 years? But let's just say you do decide, and obviously things can change, but let's say you do secure a full-time teaching position. Do you feel like you're going to try your best to keep the balance between the posh pretzel and, you know, a full-time teaching position? Or, you know, do you kind of feel like this may be a direction you want to go in as far as that, but I'm going to leave that perspective up to you.
I'm honestly not positive about which way I will go. I never saw myself opening up this store. Whenever people would message me, like I had a message that I was always sent to them telling them what I offer. But one of the first few lines I always said, I am currently not a storefront, hopefully in the future. I never really thought this would come and I never knew when it would come, but teaching, I'm still so passionate about. when I was talking to my parents, I kind of got teary-eyed a little bit, just because I don't want to lose that passion that I have for teaching. I still want to obtain a teaching position. I'm not sure when it will happen, but I hope it will soon. I'm just going to continue substitute teaching. And when I do obtain something full time, my mom will be here working the store. And like I said, the hours are shortened a little bit. So we'll just have to play it out and see how it goes. But she's my right hand man, and she will be working here as well with me. So I keep her busy, and we get everything done. So she helps me with a lot of things.
That's so cool. Cause I remember when, we were working the ice cream stand, like if obviously I had like camp or like sports camp or something, like my parents would always be there to support. So it's so awesome mm-hmm. that you have your mom supporting you along the way and kind of being that a model as every mother and father would and should be. So mm-hmm. I think it's cool that you have that perspective. But another perspective that I wanted to bring up, as I brought up before, was the fact that you opened up during this pandemic, and it almost is almost a sign that, like, it doesn't matter when a situation or a pandemic happens, like, you can do this. Like, you can do it. And I just kind of want to hear your thoughts. I know we touched briefly about the situation itself, but just kind of wanted to hear your perspective on opening up during COVID-19 happening.
So we just have to pray and be positive that everything is going to work out. You know, like I said, I didn't want it to stop me from fulfilling a dream of mine. And like I said, with all my supporters that came out, it's almost like everything was normal for a day. You know, there was no hate in the world. We didn't hear any bad news. It was just all positive, and everyone was so cheerful. And although we did wear masks and, like I said, distancing and all that, it was just kind of like another normal day. It wasn't anything bad and wrong and anything like that. So there is a lot of joy in opening up the store, although I don't know, you know, when everything like this will end and how much longer it will be. But I'm just going to continue doing my thing. I didn't want to let it stop me. And I'm just hopeful that everything will work out. I don't know what will happen and how long we'll be like the way we are now, but all we could do is pray and that businesses keep going strong, small businesses, and just always to support the small businesses in your town and community, because that's what matters the most.
I find it's hard to not be positive, especially looking at some of the photos of the place, you know, your business and all that, like bright colors. And, you know, I mean, who else would be feeling upset when they have a bunch of sweet treats around them? So
that's true. As soon as you walk in, there's just tons of color, and it really brightens up someone's day. It makes them smile. And that's what I'm all about. I want to make people happy. So
that's awesome. Now, you know, kind of moving on, I find it interesting for this next question that I'm going to ask you. How has Misericordia helped you get to where you are today? I'm really interested to hear this perspective, especially with, like, you know, your current situation right now, but, you know, just how Misericordia has helped you get to where you are today.
I truly believe Misericordia really helped me to get to where I am today, as I have learned and grown so much during my time there and beyond. I met so many wonderful people in Misericordia's campus, faculty, friends, and everybody in between really made it feel like home when I was there. I would love to return back soon to Misericordia for my master's in education when the time is right. But although I am local and very close by, I still wanted to live there just to get the full college experience. So I really wouldn't have done anything differently. I'm so thankful for the experiences that I have had during my 4 years, and it's just such an awesome university. I miss it so much, and I'm always thinking about it, and I still like to visit up there, walk around, and go to the bookstore and things like that. So it just really made it feel like home when I was there.
Now, if I remember correctly, you actually spent your summers there too at times, working in the president's office. Is that correct?
Yes, I worked every semester during the school year, and I started in the fall after my freshman year. The summer after my freshman year. So I worked in the president's office with Dr. Boatsman and a few others. So that was an awesome experience. It was always great in the summer, a little more relaxed. And I always met so many great people. So they really were so special to me. And it was so nice being in their company in the office.
I always remember as a student and moving into a grad assistant at times too, like just seeing you in that office. And it was kind of like, you know what? It's nice that she's there because, you know, you kind of feel a sense of comfort and hospitableness. I'm going to throw that word out, but the sense of hospitableness that, like, you had a welcoming group when you walked into the office, not the president's office specifically, but you know, the secretary and the work study, which would be you, and having that. So it was like, I'm always thinking, like, when I always think of the office, I always think of you being there. So
yeah, it was so nice seeing everybody, and they took such great care of us. So in the summer, it was just really nice. I loved meeting so many people, and Dr. Botson was great. I still keep in touch with him a little bit here or there. So
that's good.
It was a really great opportunity. I'm so glad for it.
And now you're moving on making some sweet treats, which, you know, I don't know how that would correlate.
They were lucky enough that I was brought some samples into them. Mm. And Dr. Botson was always asking me, joking around when I would get there, looking to see if I always brought more. So he was a frequent one of those, him and his wife and other individuals. I would bring in little trays for them at the holidays. And so they were lucky enough to get some samples.
Right. You got to be friends with you in order for you to get those samples.
Yeah, absolutely. They took care of me, so I took care of them.
Awesome. Now, I forgot to leave out the most important question out of the Posh Pretzel, but how long did you think, timeline-wise, how long did it take you for you to open your business? Because, you know, you're telling me, like, shared some samples. Like, tell me, I guess, from a timeline perspective, like, how long it took you to actually open the business?
So, like I said, I didn't really know that this was going to happen. I didn't really know when, or it was never really on my mind. My mom was just up to something. She was looking to see where we could go and different places that were available. And like we said, a lot of places are opening up space now because other businesses are leaving. So we saw a small storefront. It's right next to the 44 Borough Building. And it was open. We checked it out one day, and there was a few changes that need to be made. So I opened up about 2 months after we made it official. So we did a lot of renovations because we really wanted to make it homey and something that goes well with my business, with the name and what I do and all of that. So I really wanted to make it special for what I create. So just about 2 months after, like I said, we opened up, and there were a lot of renovations, but it all came out perfectly, and I wouldn't change a thing. So
that's so cool to hear. So Allie, you know, this is kind of the opportunity. If you've been in touch with any of your classmates or your friends or any alumni, I always say this is your perfect opportunity to shout out your friends, but have you been in any touch with your alumni or friends since graduating?
Yes, of course. So most of my friends and roommates that I lived with are out of town, but we definitely still keep in touch every now and then. Everyone is so busy and pulled in all different directions. Some are still in school, some are doing clinicals, and others are starting jobs and doing trainings and things like that. So I'm so happy for everyone. And when we have the chance to, we always meet up for lunch and dinner, but we could talk for hours because it's so hard to catch up because it's only an every now and then thing. So, But I also keep in touch with some of my education professors as well. And like I said, Dr. Boltzman a little bit too. So I'm so happy for him and his new position in Ohio. So I know they're lucky to have him, and we'll definitely miss him.
It's, you know, I think it's more enticing now that people would make their way to visit your business too, in case it's almost like visiting somebody at an ice cream stand that works there. Like, you know, they're there, but you also get the benefit of buying a sweet treat. So
it's... yeah, that's so true. So it's really nice to see familiar faces, and then you could, you know, make them happy, give back to them and for all they've done for me. So
that's awesome. So Allie, any final thoughts or words to wrap up this podcast?
I just want to say thank you for having me. It was so nice talking to you, and I hope that everyone can come and try out the Posh Pretzel. I'd love to see everybody. We're located at 1265 Wyoming Avenue in 44th, and it's been a pleasure talking to you, Mike.
Awesome. Now, and one quick thing, can people find you on social media, and if so, where?
Yes, I'm on Facebook and Instagram right now currently, and for the summer, our hours are Wednesday through Saturday. So you can check us out online and see everything we have to offer. And I'm always open by phone as well for special orders. So they know how to reach me. If they want something, I'll be happy to make them something.
Well, it looks like I have to make a trip down there in order for me to get my sweet treat on and get my sweet tooth a little satisfied. So
always served with a smile too, and made with love.
Well, Allie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It was great talking to you.